up this morning, and I got my two assistants, Axton and Ella. Go ahead and set my prop up over here. Told them not to drop it, otherwise my prop won't work. Ella, you plug it in, and Axton, you set it this way, as far as you can, as the cord will reach. Okay, right here, good. Set it right up here, so everybody can see it. There's my prop. And the Lord, I don't know if I'm going to say much about it, but I do know this. The Lord wants me to let it shine for the whole service. And the Lord gave me another idea through my wife when she said, this little light of mine. So maybe at the end of the service, I'll hop on the piano and we'll sing. I know it's a kid's song, but pray, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Amen. And in the meantime, we're going to let this light shine. You know, when you start reading your Bible, if you start from the beginning, you only get to the third verse and the word light comes up. And light is very much an aspect, very much. I could say it this way. It is the kingdom of God. It's a kingdom of light. Amen. And it's a huge feature of the kingdom. There's natural light, as you see here, but there's also spiritual light. And obviously, that's what I'm going to be talking about this morning. That we get natural light. God made it in the beginning. Let there be light. He made light. He made the sun. He made the moon. He made the stars. All these things to shine on us. Benjamin Franklin, or who discovered electricity? Benjamin Franklin discovered that. You know, that electricity is actually in our bodies even. We discovered it, and we have electricity this morning, and we can see, and we can appreciate our cool air conditioning. But there's many, many sources of natural light, but there is only one source of spiritual light. Just like the way is narrow, and few there be that find it. There is only one mediator between God and man, or God and man, that's the man, Christ Jesus. So when it comes to light, there is one source of light, spiritual light. So I'm going to read from a few texts this morning, starting in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. And this light will be shining through our sermon this morning. Thank you, my assistants. They're not even paying attention. Thank you for setting my prop up. Nora, you missed out, huh? Isaiah 9:2. Lord, just help me as I share this simple principle, Lord, of your light in us. Help me, help us all to hear and understand. Speak marvelous things to us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. The people who, Isaiah 9:2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Anybody in here ever walk in darkness? We all did. Some darker than others, but we are all darkness. Unless you were saved as a young kid, you can hardly remember. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Praise God. The shadow of death means they're not dead yet. But if they continue on that course, it is death. It is being lost. The second I am statement that Jesus said was in John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. If you always want to walk in light, church, can't get any simpler than that. Follow him. Praise God. And you won't have so much confusion in your life as a believer. John, backing up to chapter 1. Verses 4 through 9, John 1, 4 through 9. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light that shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I will come back to that thought, life was the light. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I just remembered I wanted to pray over our youth are going on a mini retreat this week. about 6 or 7 from the church. So don't let me forget, Joy, to we're going to pray over them at the end of the service. I wanted to do it before, but anyways, it is the very life of Jesus in us that is the light of men. We don't maybe have an exterior showing like this light here, and we don't maybe have this big display, but there is nothing we can do, and I'm gonna cover this better, but just let me say this for now. There's nothing we can do to make that light shine, at least initially. But I know there is something we can do to make it not shine. Here's my first prop. Cover it up. Let not light be seen in us. Obviously, if you turn from the Lord, that happens, and you have no more light in you. But if Christ is in you, that light is in you. I almost thought of getting like a little garment and putting it over, showing the kids. When you get Jesus in your heart, he comes into your skin tent. Amen? So in this skin tent is a light. Doesn't look like that, but his name is Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world. I am really the master of simplicity this morning, ain't I? But we can do things to keep it from shining. And the more of the life of Christ that is seen in us, the brighter that light shines. Just as we are given a measure of many things, a measure of faith and a measure of the Spirit, we're also given a measure of the light. That light is Jesus Christ. And the more his life is produced in us, the brighter that light shines. You know, our first understanding of the light, of this spiritual light, is when you had come to realize that your eyes have been opened to see things you never saw before. You don't see them naturally, but you see them spiritually. But one of those things that you see when your eyes are opened spiritually and the light comes on, I don't know why I always say the light goes off, but it's the light goes on. First, one of the first things you see is you're a sinner. You see that you are lost from God. You see that you're an offense to God. But praise God, he loved us while we were offending him. Amen. I hope we don't give up on people that offend us too easy, because Jesus sure didn't. Amen. And praise God. And when our eyes are open and we saw we are a sinner. You don't necessarily repent and have to think of all the sins that they come to your mind. Go ahead and do it. But what you do is you repent of what you are, a sinner. Praise God. And you know what happens then? You become a saint. Praise God. You change from a sinner to a saint. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. They have been, when your eyes are open, they have been open to the reality of God and his love for you. I certainly understand the love of God more in my life now than I ever have. But to some degree, we understand when our eyes are open, there's a God in heaven that loves me. A God that I didn't even know. The God that I rejected, he loved me all along the way. Their eyes, if your eyes are open, they've been open to the need that you have for a Savior. Need for someone to make it right that you can go to the Father. I've said this before, you know, there's a lot of talk. I can't wait to get to heaven to see Jesus. Well, I want to see Jesus too, but I want to see the Father. That's who Jesus provided the way for me, to go to the Father. Praise God. I don't want to stop at Jesus. I want to go to the Father. Amen? Or you can be like the Oneness Church and just see them all in one crack. I want to hug all three of them. Praise God. When our eyes were open, the light has come on. They've been open to see the depravity and destination of all men. To me, that was the biggest eye-open experience in my life. We all probably have different testimonies. And I've told you that many times. It wasn't long after I was saved. I wanted to run out in the street. I looked out the window, saw cars going by to pick up their kids from the school. And it just hit me. I like wanted to, like, don't these people see where they're going? Don't they know what their future is? And I wanted to run out in the street and just say, everybody stop for a moment. I could see it as clear as a bell. Their destination was hell. They were depraved. I'm sure maybe a few believers may have drove by. But my eyes were open to that. Why? A light went off. A light went off in my heart. They have, and then again, one more thing is the eyes have been opened when you see the vanity of living for this world. This is a growing thing. As you grow more in the Lord, you see, like, the less I want that, and the more I want him. Even Paul was saying at the closing of his life, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable. I just wanted to be more and more like him, and I'm less and less interested in that. All those things that we clamor and fight for, all they are is just, as you grow in the Lord, just things to meet a need for you, you know. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. Here becomes our participation now. Again, reminding you, that light right there is Christ. It's gonna burn. His life is just gonna keep on shining. Whether you respond it, anybody responds or not, it's him. He is light. Matthew 5, 14 and 16. You are the light of the world. Remember, Jesus said he's the light of the world. Now all of a sudden, we become the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. Again, this is what a lot of Christians do. Snuff it out. Or they go like this. May that never be for any of us here. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men. Let your light, let your Jesus so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So Jesus here says that we are the light of the world. He said that he was, but now he's put that responsibility on us. And he says, gang, brothers and sisters, you're taking over for me now. While I was here, I was shining. Now it's your turn to shine for me. So we are meant to be seen, to stand out from the normal everyday person. Don't you like that, Anne, when you get to stand out here in front of everybody? But you don't necessarily have to do that. But we do. Our light, the light in us has to be seen. God places the responsibility upon us to let our light shine. Ray, I was so blessed by your testimony of your sons. And, you know, I've been to Romania, you know, that. I've been there 11 times. And, of course, I went with an agenda and a plan and pocket full of money and all kinds of things. But I love and I thought I was the master of simplicity, but this made me feel like I'm pretty deep. The sons want to go to Romania, and it's so opposite of, again, where everything's so planned and so brainstormed, and you got all of these points of focus and all these things. And I'm, you know, some people are gifted with administrative skills, use them for the glory of God. So I'm not criticizing that. That's just not me. I like that style. One time a water main sewer broke in the front of our house, and I said, Joanne, let's pack up the kids and go up north. That was one of the fun things you do, just be spontaneous. That's the kind of guy I am. But I love that spontaneous spirit that those boys had. We're going to go to Romania. We don't know who we're going to meet, but we're just going. But I cannot help. I don't know did you go on that, Ephraim? Okay. I don't know if you guys thought this or not, but I'm pretty sure this is what motivated. You know what? We're light. We're light. All we have to do is go. All we have to do is go and let our light shine. And we can do an effective work for the Lord. You don't have to have all the evangelism explosion techniques and the way of the master and all of these outlines and all of these things and all these pre-planned things. I mean, if you use them and God puts it in your heart, fine. But understand, we are called to be light. Let the light shine. Amen. That's so refreshing to me compared to all of the strategies and months of preparation. Wherever you go, church, we are to take the light of Christ with you. And remember, he is always shining. Amen. We stop him from shining. We need to let him be seen in us. If I had a long enough cord, I'd be holding this right here for the rest of the sermon. So wherever you go, take the light of Christ with you. Romans 2:19. Romans 2:19. And are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness. You know, I know it gets in the minds of saints. I'm not a minister. I'm not an elder. I'm not a teacher. In Bible study, I hardly ever have a comment. And I'm more of a sponge. And God's going to use other people. But every single one of us has one thing common. Well, yeah, a lot of things common, but we have that light in us. Amen. Every one of you has the ability to lead anybody in darkness out of it. Every single one of you has the ability to be a guide to those in darkness. You can guide their life. And it is easier than you think by letting Jesus, the light of the world, be seen in us. Praise God. It's sad to say that so much of the church doesn't shine. I guess I could say there's times I didn't shine so bright. And too many people see the church today as just some man-made, man-connived, and man-ruled organization. And they too often see Christians as people who walk in darkness themselves. Did you know, saints of God, if you are overcome by sin, you are walking in darkness? Maybe you have some moments of repentance in the light, but if you are not walking with the Lord, you are walking in darkness. And what's doubly bad about that is people that are depending to see some light don't see it if you're walking in darkness. And that's when many people see the Christians walking in darkness. I remember Clendenin would tell that story often, and he says he at work, and he says there's some guys, church-going guys at work, and they'd say, hey, why don't you go to church with me? He goes, why do I want to go to church with you? You chase the same women I do, and you shoot craps with the same people I do. He just saw them as darkness. He didn't even know he was in darkness, but he didn't see them any difference. That light is the difference of Christ in us. The light that Jesus displayed attracted the poor, it attracted the feeble, it attracted the sick, it attracted the demon-possessed, and it even attracted people who couldn't see, that were blind physically. And it attracted them, and they came to him. And his light infuriated the religious leaders. They couldn't handle it. Did you ever tell somebody, turn that light off? Especially today, those LED lights are so bright, they'll leave some flashlights, you can hardly look at them, like, turn that off! That's why you're rejected. If you're being rejected in the world because of your love for Jesus, what they're rejecting is that light that's shining. That's just too bright. And they don't want their deeds exposed. But, you know, we don't turn down the light. Just let the light. You ever hear that saying? I know some people don't like it, but preach the gospel and use words if you must. I don't know if you ever heard that saying. Meaning, let your light be the gospel. Your life be the gospel. And certainly, it's not saying don't preach, because that's what Jesus and John the Baptist did. They preached the kingdom of God and all the apostles. But how do you do that and not speak? By letting the light of Jesus be seen in your life. You know, most people don't even know they're in darkness. I didn't know that. I didn't know what that all meant. As bright as the day as anybody, for me as it was for anybody else when it was sunny out. I didn't know that I was in darkness. I do now, when I look back, know I was in darkness. Boy, am I glad he delivered me. Am I glad he brought me into the light, into this marvelous light. Amen. We need to rejoice in this light that we live in. Some people understand to agree that they're in darkness, and some of them want to come out. And they need to see the light. That's the two contrasts. If you're in darkness, you need light. And that's what you need to come out. Some people love darkness and will hate anyone who shines light on them. There's nothing you can do about them. They just hate it, and they'll hate you. They'll hate you so much that they'll do to you, if they can, what they did to Jesus, kill him. The greatest impact we can have on our society is for them to see the light of Christ in us and in his church. The only way it can be in his church is if it's in those who are in the church. The more of us that have this light shine in us, the more powerful, the more bright this church is on a society. Amen? And people are going to see the light, and people that want to be delivered from darkness, and I'm still trusting the Lord to do this. He's going to bring the people to this marvelous light. Amen. I've quoted Matthew many times, read it, of course, many, many times, that we are the light of the world. But to be honest with you, I don't know if I really quite knew what that meant. I don't know if I can really still explain it that good, but I do want to answer a few questions about this light. And these questions is I want to answer. What exactly is the light? I think I kind of answered that already. What does this light do? And how do we let it shine? That's probably the question that's been in your mind. Okay, I understand this. How do I let this light shine? So what is that light? First of all, I want to ask this with it. Are good works light? Matthew 16 takes care of that question for us. And it says it, and I'm going to emphasize a word here. Let your light so shine. So means to such a degree, in such a manner, in such a way. So let your light shine in such a way before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Did you notice it doesn't say your good works are the light? It says let your light shine, that when you do those good works, God will get the glory for it. That makes Christ in us the priority. Jesus is saying let Christ be evident in us while we are doing good works so God will get the glory for it. This world is full of people that do good works. Without any light being shed, probably the most classic is Mother Teresa, the old nun from the Catholic Church who died, I don't know, about 20 years ago maybe. And she devoted her whole life to Calcutta, India, helping the poor. And I don't stand here as judge. God's not going to come and check with me how Mother Teresa's spiritual condition was. But if the reports I hear that she never, you know, if she still believes she was saved by good works, she's in hell today. Simple as that. Is that being mean? I'm just telling you the truth. You don't get saved by good works. You get saved by faith in Jesus Christ, surrendering your life to him, and he comes in. So she's famous for her good works, but if she wasn't born again, that isn't the light. Who gets the credit for it? She does. She's the one that everybody idolizes. But our light, and you know what? You can do good works and people can idolize you too. You know what? You need to let that light get kicked up a couple notches. So they start seeing it's the Christ in you. Amen? Praise God. Works are only good when they are ordained of God and carried out in the Spirit. Doing good works is primarily thought of as doing good deeds, but good works entail much more than that. They include keeping the commandments of God. It includes doing the will of the Father. It is displaying the fruit of the Spirit. That is the main one. The main one, that you are acting like Christ, like Jesus Christ, wherever you go. And it is the Spirit of God working through your life. It's these things that what good deeds are and good works are. It ain't just helping somebody across the road or helping someone roof their house or something. It's all of these things, obeying God, keeping the commandments of God. So this is that's the answer to the first question was, what is that light? That light is, again, Jesus in us, shining, and we have to let him shine through us. Second question, what does the light do? In Luke 1:79, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. So what does the light do? It leads people away from death. It leads them away from darkness. Light overcomes death because life is light. It's the life of Jesus Christ in us that is the light. Life cancels death. John 8:12 says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So light shows us the way to God. Light also shines on that which is evil in the world and in our own heart. I like to say that it's the street lights of the highway of holiness. The street lights, like we have to see our way. John 3:19-21. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So again, it's not necessarily you they hate. It's that light that's in you that they hate. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds shall be reproved. Because if they come to Jesus, their life is exposed. And if they want to hang on to that, they're not coming. But if they're willing to let go and surrender, that light will expose it. Hallelujah. And they'll be thanking the Lord like we do. Thank you for bringing me into this marvelous light. But he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So light condemns darkness. Light exposes evil deeds. Light keeps evil at bay. Light repels darkness. Imagine when the church is raptured out of here. No light. Spiritually black. The sun will still shine. The moon will still shine. There will still be electricity. But it will be spiritually black. No more light. Nothing to expose and nothing to shine on the way to go anymore. People don't like being around real Christians because the light that shines from them makes them feel condemned. But just make sure it is your light that makes people feel condemned, not you. Amen? Because even the Spirit of God doesn't condemn. People condemn. The Spirit of God convicts. You just got to know the difference. Sometimes God will use you to bring conviction, no doubt. Just don't let the devil use you to bring in condemnation. Men are already condemned, John 3:18 says, because they didn't believe in him. Light cooperates with truth. Light reveals truth and therefore exposes lies and deception. You can be proud of all the truth you know, but understand it's the light that opened your eyes to it. Amen? It is the light that will help you see what darkness is. Amen? You're not such a hot shot, okay? It's the light that's helped you to see. Praise God. Praise God that he didn't leave us wallowing in deception and error and lie. We'd be like all the people out there that are just believing in such crazy things and all kinds of whatever way you want to go. There's people that really believe that. You don't, because you got light from God. Hallelujah. John says truth will expose our deeds to the point that we will know that if they are from the Spirit of God or not. So you can even do some things for the Lord, and the light can shine in you and say, no, that isn't really what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. You got sidetracked a little bit. He'll guide us into everything that he would have us to do. Truth matures us because light shines in us and exposes lies and deceptions. We can do a lot of things with sincerity unto the Lord, and yet they may not be the will of the Father. The light will help us with that. God reveals that to us, reveals it to us not to punish us, but to teach us more and more how to walk in the Spirit and do His will. And the last question, how do we let the light shine? And I already answered it. John 9:5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus is in the world by you and through you. He is in the world. Again, He gave us the responsibility to let that light shine. The answer to having the light in the being the light in the world is having Christ abiding in you, every one of you, and His life being exposed in you. The greater His presence among us, the brighter that light shines. Who is attracted to a defeated Christian anyway? Huh? I was like, oh, I want to go hang with that person, man. Man, there's a Debbie Downer. It's just like, I just love being around them. Christians need to be the most joyful and the most delivered and free people in the face of the planet. That doesn't, you know, even if you're going through some struggles, they need to see the light. That doesn't mean that Jesus, like, oh, I'm going to let the light grow dull now in me. Jesus is going to say, I'm going to turn down my light because you're going through something. No, that light's still going to burn, and you still have to let it shine. Oh, you know what? Here's what I was going to read. That was, I think, from Oswald Chambers on overcoming. This is kind of a good spot to put it. Here's what he says. Daryl sent this to me. God does not give us overcoming life. He gives us life as we overcome. Amen. Isn't that neat? As we overcome, the life of God, the life of Christ grows in us. So again, who's attracted to a defeated Christian or a dull Christian? There's a lot of people that maybe don't have much emotion or kind of even keel, but even in them, there can be excitement of Christ, of the light of God in them. The life of Christ in you is the light of the world. And that is it. God has not ordained or has asked any other thing to be that light. It is Christ in the believer. That is it. It is totally, absolutely, 100% your responsibility for that light to shine in you. I'm up here to encourage you to let it shine, but I can't make it shine in you. I have to work on making it shine in me. Amen. This is the one time, a few times you can be selfish in your life. All right? Worry about the light in you. Amen. Praise God. And then help your brother, help your sister, let the light shine in them. The more He is revealed in you, the brighter you will shine. It'll never be stand out like a light like this. It stands out in a different way. People see Jesus in us. And then, as we're bringing this to an end, understand that light does stir a reaction. It causes a reaction from the crowd. Here's a few scriptures when Jesus was on, and I don't have the text down, I'm just going to read them. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? It's the power of God displaying the light that Jesus was. Here's another scripture. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. They saw Jesus a different teacher than the teachers they grew up with. Maybe in that mix they had some of their favorites, but there's nobody like this Jesus. I've never heard anybody. I've never seen such light before. They don't know that they're seeing light. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Did you notice right away they connected Jesus with God? Don't you want people to do that with you? Connect you with Jesus? Amen? And they say, this is just something more about this person. There's a light in them. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. That's the other reaction of the light in us. And all the people were amazed and said, is this the son of David? I just threw that one in there because you know what? At the end of the day, he's a man. 100% man, right? 100% God. Known him as the son of David. But people were amazed about him. Praise God. I want to amaze people. I like singing that song, we serve an amazing God. But I want to amaze people, not with me, not with my song and dance and great eloquence in the pulpit, dressing so fine. I want to amaze them with the presence of God, the power of God. Amen. Church is the only hope if we're going to impact this world. We are to be the light. We are to keep on shining. If the church has failed in her evangelism work, it is not because we haven't produced enough evangelism workshops. It hasn't been from a lack of outdoor tent meetings or crusade. It isn't from a lack of missionary work. It is from a failure of the church to be the light. Then you can just go to Romania and say, when I get there, I don't have a plan. And I'm not recommending you to do that either. But you could say, I don't have a plan except this one thing. I have light, and I want people to see it. Amen? So I guess we could do all kinds of wonderful works, but as Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. If there is no light, we will get the credit. Oh, you're such a great Christian. You need to exemplify and follow that person's. I mean, of course, we talk about that there's a truth to that too. Follow me as I follow Christ. But you get the credit. But if you let Christ shine on us, then the Father in heaven will receive the glory. I wish we could shine like this lamp, be real evident everywhere we go. I know this light, I look up, it's on, shine wherever I go, I stand out. But we're talking about a spiritual light here. And don't think for a moment that Christ, the light of Christ isn't being seen just because it isn't shining like that in you. In Matthew 15:31, I close with this last scripture here. Matthew 15:31, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. And I love this. The climax, and they glorified the God of Israel. I want people to glorify the God of the church in Wisconsin. Amen. Praise God. So if you so let your light shine, people will see Jesus instead of seeing you. People will hear Jesus instead of hearing you. Praise God. I trust that you're always hearing Jesus when I speak, because that's what I pray. Amen. Praise God for the light. Amen. I'm going to try this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. I don't think we have it in the thing anywhere. And we'll see what happens. Let's see. Got to find the right key. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. And one more time. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. God. Yes. Amen. Amen. Let's just say we got Donnie here at the altar. We're going to pray for the youth in a minute, but I don't want to take away anybody's right now. If the Lord stirred you just to come to the altar, or even in your pew, if you just need to ask the Lord to help you be that light, you can be seated. And let's just take a few.